理课堂听 class.com。
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 2.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations.At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer.Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. I have plenty of good ideas, Professor Johnson, but...Haven't I been able to organize them into the paper a few days late?
You know that I always prefer a well-written paper, even if it is late.
What does the man mean? Question 12. Shall we have a physics exam this afternoon?
It is postponed because the teacher has to attend a meeting.
What do we learn from this conversation? Question 13. Has Anderson come back from Canada?
Yes, and he liked it so much that only 4 weeks at home and he went back to study French for a year.
What does the conversation tell us about Anderson?
Question 14. Now, I'm going to start off by asking you a difficult question. Why would you like to get this post?
Well, first of all, I know that your firm has a very good reputation. Then, I've heard you offer good opportunities for promotion for the right person.
What do we learn from the conversation?Question 15. Hi, Jane. So glad to see you again.
Likewise. I remember the last time we met was 5 months ago at Mike's birthday party. How are you doing?
What do we know about the speakers?
Question 16. If the weather is this hot tomorrow, we may as well give up the idea of playing tennis in the afternoon.
Oh, I don't think it will last long. The weather forecast says it will cloud over by mid-afternoon.
What does the man mean?
Question 17. Could you describe the two people who robbed the bank?
Well, the man was tall, with dark hair, and he was wearing a black sweater. The main thing that I remembered about the woman was that the woman did most of the talking.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 18. I had to deal with so many courses last term, but I really had a hard time.
I told you it would be better for you if you took fewer courses during the first semester.
What do we learn about the woman?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Oh, Jack, I'm glad I caught you. I want to tell you I have to skip the history study group sessions tonight.
Really? That's too bad. Aren't you feeling well?
Oh, it's nothing bad. There's going to be a public meeting down the town hall. The state senator from this area is going to be there. She has this meeting 3 or 4 times a year to speak with her constituency.
Is that what you'd like to do with your evening? Going to listen to a politician?
Actually, it's a class assignment. Professor Jackson, he's teaching that political science seminar I'm taking. He told all of us in the seminar to go to hear what the senator has to say tonight, and also write up a report about the issues people bring up.
Oh, like medical care and tax and...
Right. As long as I'm there, I think I'd like to bring up government funding for state universities. The tuition keeps going up, and it's getting harder and harder for a lot of students to afford it.
Tell me about it.
Anyway, I want to do a really good job on this report. I need to get a letter of recommendation from Professor Jackson for graduate school. So, I guess I'd better show up there tonight and see what's going on.
Yeah, but what about the history test?
Well, I already put some time in on that this morning, so I think by tomorrow afternoon I'll be ready.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. Why does the man assume the woman is not feeling well? Question 20. What is the general purpose of the meeting the woman plans to attend? Question 21. What does the woman hope to discuss tonight? Question 22. What does the woman hope Professor Jackson will do for her?
Conversation 2.
Freedom Travel, may I help you?
Yes. I'd like to make a flight reservation for the 23rd of this month.
Okay, what is your destination?
Well, I'm flying to Helsinki, Finland.
Okay, let me check what flights are available. And when will you be returning?
I'd like to catch a return flight on the 29th. Oh, and I'd like the cheapest flight available.
Okay, let me see.
Yeah?
Well, the price for the flight is almost double the price you would pay if you leave the day before.
Ooh, let's go with the cheaper flight. By the way, how much is it?
It's only $980.
All right, well, let's go with that.
Okay, that's flight 1070 from Salt Lake City to New York, Kennedy Airport, transferring to flight 90 from Kennedy to Helsinki.
And what are the departure and arrival times for each of those flights?
It leaves Salt Lake City at 10 a.m., arriving in New York at 4:35 p.m., then transferring to Flight 90 at 5:55 p.m., and arriving in Helsinki at 8:30 a.m. the next day.
All right. And I'd like to request a vegetarian meal.
Sure, no problem. And could I have your name, please?
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. What is the conversation mainly about? Question 24. What are the two flights the man will take? Question 25. When will the man start off from Salt Lake City?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
Most likely, you aren't the family breadwinner. But doing a small job or getting a weekly allowance would put some money in your pocket. For kids and grown-ups alike, money is easy to spend. If you aren't careful, it can be gone in no time. Being responsible with your money is an important skill to learn, and the sooner you start, the better. Whether you are tracking your spending or saving for something special, creating a budget can help you deal with your expenses and plan for the future. All you need are paper and a pencil, and some self-control. First, take a look at our sample monthly budget. Then, use a separate sheet of paper to plan your own. In the first two columns, list your sources of income and how much you expect to earn from them. In the third and fourth columns, list what you expect to spend your money on and the amount. The left-hand total should be more than or equal to the right-hand total. If it is, you have an effective budget. Budgets are not complex, but sticking to them can be tough. When planning your budget, be realistic about your expenses. If you know that you drop $18 at a movie, don't write $12 in that space simply because you wish you were spending less. If you are eyeing a big purchase, such as a $150 skateboard, spend less and save more until you have the total amount. No matter how attractive it may be, avoid spending your savings. One day, you will thank yourself.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. Who is the passage written for? Question 27. What is the purpose of making a budget? Question 28. What should people do when planning a budget? Passage 2. When a storm is coming, most people leave the area as quickly as possible and head for safety, but there are a few people who will get into their cars and go straight for the center of the storm. These people are willing to risk being killed by floods or 100 kilometer an hour winds for the excitement of watching the storm close up. Storm chasing is becoming an increasingly popular hobby, especially in the Midwest of the United States. A storm chaser begins the day by checking the internet for the latest weather reports, and then drives up to 1,000 kilometers to where the storm will be and waits for it to develop. Although anyone can do it, storm chasing is extremely dangerous. The power of a big storm can throw a cow into the air or destroy a whole house in seconds. Storm chasers are often hurt in accidents caused by driving in heavy rain. If you are a beginner, it is much safer to join a group for storm chasing vacations during the storm season. Even then, storm chasing is not all adventure and excitement. Storm chasing is 95% driving, says Daniel Lynch, who spends most of his summer storm chasing. Sometimes you can sit around for hours waiting for something to happen, and all you get is blue sky and a few light showers. However, for storm chasers, it is all worth it. When you get close to a storm, it is the most exciting sight you will ever see in your life, says Jasper Morley. Every storm is an example of the power of nature. It is the greatest show on earth.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. What is the first thing storm chasers should do for storm chasing? Question 30. What does the author advise beginners of storm chasing to do? Question 31. What can we learn from the passage? Passage 3. Exchange a glance with someone, then look away. Do you realize that you have made a statement? Hold the glance for a second longer, and you have made a different statement. Hold it for 3 seconds, and the meaning has changed again. For every social situation, there is a permissible time you can hold a person's gaze without being intimate, rude, or aggressive. If you are on an elevator, what gaze time are you permitted? To answer this question, consider what you typically do. You very likely give other passengers a quick glance to size them up and to assure them that you mean no threat, since being close to another person signals the possibility of interaction. You need to emit a signal telling others you want to be left alone, so you cut off eye contact. You look down at the floor, at the indicator lights, anywhere but into another passenger's eyes. Should you break the rule against staring at a stranger on an elevator, you will make the other person exceedingly uncomfortable, and you are likely to feel a bit strange yourself. If you hold eye contact for more than 3 seconds, what are you telling another person? Much depends on the person and the situation.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. What can be inferred from the passage? Question 33. What should you do if you want to be left alone on an elevator? Question 34. How does one tend to feel if he or she is looked at by a stranger for too long? Question 35. What does the passage mainly discuss?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Attention to detail is something everyone can and should do, especially in a tight job market. Bob Crossley, a human resources expert, notices this in the job applications that come across his desk every day. It's amazing how many candidates eliminate themselves, he says. Resumes arrive with stains. Some candidates don't bother to spell the company's name correctly. Once I see a mistake, I eliminate the candidate. Crossley concludes, if they cannot take of these details, why should we trust them with a job? Can we pay too much attention to detail? Absolutely not. Perfectionists struggle over little things at the cost of something larger they work towards. To keep from losing the forest for the trees, says Charles Garfield, associate professor at the University of California, San Francisco, we must constantly ask ourselves how the details we're working on fit into the larger picture. If they don't, we should drop them and move to something else. Garfield compares this process to his work as a computer scientist at NASA. The Apollo 2 moon launch was slightly off course 90% of the time, says Garfield, but a successful landing was still likely because we knew the exact coordinates of our goal. This allowed us to make adjustments as necessary. Knowing where we want to go helps us judge the importance of every task we undertake. Too often, we believe what accounts for others' success is some special secret or a lucky break, but rarely is success so mysterious. Again and again, we see that by doing little things within our grasp well, large rewards follow.
Now the passage will be read again.
Attention to detail is something everyone can and should do, especially in a tight job market. Bob Crossley, a human resources expert, notices this in the job applications that come across his desk every day. It's amazing how many candidates eliminate themselves, he says. Resumes arrive with stains. Some candidates don't bother to spell the company's name correctly. Once I see a mistake, I eliminate the candidate, Crossley concludes. If they cannot take of these details, why should we trust them with a job? Can we pay too much attention to detail? Absolutely not. Perfectionists struggle over little things at the cost of something larger they work toward. To keep from losing the forest for the trees, says Charles Garfield, associate professor at the University of California, San Francisco, we must constantly ask ourselves how the details we are working on fit into the larger picture. If they don't, we should drop them and move on to something else. Garfield compares this process to his work as a computer scientist at NASA. The Apollo 2 moon launch was slightly off course 90% of the time, says Garfield. But a successful landing was still likely because we knew the exact coordinates of our goal. This allowed us to make adjustments as necessary. Knowing where we want to go helps us judge the importance of every task we undertake. Too often we believe what accounts for others' success is some special secret or lucky break. But rarely is success so mysterious. Again and again, we see that by doing little things within our grasp, large rewards follow.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Attention to detail is something everyone can and should do, especially in a tight job market. Bob Crossley, a human resources expert, notices this in the job applications that come across his desk every day. It's amazing how many candidates eliminate themselves, he says. Resumes arrive with stains. Some candidates don't bother to spell the company's name correctly. Once I see a mistake, I eliminate the candidate. Crossley concludes, if they cannot take of these details, why should we trust them with a job? Can we pay too much attention to detail? Absolutely not. Perfectionists struggle over little things at the cost of something larger they work towards. To keep from losing the forest for the trees, says Charles Garfield, associate professor at the University of California, San Francisco, we must constantly ask ourselves how the details we're working on fit into the larger picture. If they don't, we should drop them and move to something else. Garfield compares this process to his work as a computer scientist at NASA. The Apollo 2 moon launch was slightly off course 90% of the time, says Garfield. But a successful landing was still likely because we knew the exact coordinates of our goal. This allowed us to make adjustments as necessary. Knowing where we want to go helps us judge the importance of every task we undertake. Too often, we believe what accounts for other success is some special secret or a lucky break, but rarely is success so mysterious. Again and again, we see that by doing little things within our grasp well, large rewards follow.